Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson. In 1985, trumpeter Miles Davis left his longtime label Columbia Records for Warner Brothers and began what would prove to be his final run of recordings. Albums such as Tutu and Amanla found Davis working in a synthesizer-enhanced 1980s musical landscape, with bassist Marcus Miller emerging as a key new collaborator. We'll hear music from those albums as well as some live recordings and one of Davis's late-period sideman appearances in the next hour. It's Final Miles, coming up on this edition of Nightlights.
Thank you.
Miles Davis and Backyard Ritual from his 1986 album Tutu, music written for Davis by keyboardist and composer George Duke, who was surprised that Davis ended up using the demo that Duke sent him to play over for the album version of the track. In 1985, trumpeter Miles Davis, the creative force behind numerous jazz masterpieces such as Kind of Blue and Bitches Brew, left Columbia Records, where he had recorded those and many other albums for 30 years, and signed with Warner Brothers. Davis was on the verge of turning 60, only several years returned from a half-decade-long retirement, and he was unhappy with Columbia for several reasons. He felt the label wasn't supportive enough of a recent recording project that would eventually be released under the title Aura. He wanted more money, and he was bristling about the new favorite son status Columbia had bestowed upon the young trumpeter Wynton Marsalis, who had made some less than favorable remarks about Davis's post-mid-1960s music to the jazz media. At Warner Brothers, Davis would continue forging his 1980s sound that one writer has described as chromatic funk, play on recordings by pop and R&B artists such as Chaka Khan, Cameo, and Skritti Politti, and make a studio album, Tutu, that some regard as a late-period masterpiece. Davis's initial recording sessions for Warner, however, went unreleased for many years and still have not come out in their entirety. They're known as the rubber band sessions and possess an even harder pop-funk sound than what Miles would generally end up pursuing in his final years. From those sessions, here's Miles Davis and Rubber Band on Nightlights. Miles Davis and Rubber Band from sessions for his Warner Brothers debut that were ultimately abandoned in favor of the album that would become Tutu. One of the most intriguing near collaborations for Davis's Warner Brothers years was with pop artist Prince, who was then at the peak of his commercial fame, still riding high on the album and movie Purple Rain, and writing prolifically for other artists as well as himself. Prince admired Davis and sent him a tape of a song, telling him that he trusted Davis to play whatever sounded right over it. Davis returned Prince's admiration, saying, "For me, he can be the new Duke Ellington of our time if he just keeps at it," a comment that outraged jazz critic Stanley Crouch, who lambasted Davis for his post-1960s musical maneuverings in The Village Voice and The New Republic, calling his 1980s incarnation nothing more than a winged death's head floating on the hot air of insipid writers and gullible listeners, and attacking the trumpeter as the most brilliant sellout in the history of jazz. Though a studio recording and live performance of Prince and Davis together have surfaced in recent years, and Prince songs sometimes showed up in Davis's concert sets, the two never did end up making an album together. The most significant collaborator of Miles' late period proved to be Marcus Miller, a bassist and composer who had played with Davis in the early 1980s. He was suggested to Miles by Warner Brothers producer Tommy LaPuma. When Miller realized that Davis was open to working with drum machines, synthesizers, and other non-live studio elements, he set out on the course that ultimately led to Tutu, writing and recording much of the music himself, with Davis then playing his trumpet parts over the results. Tutu, which also sported a dramatic black-and-white cover photograph of Davis's face, presented a musical landscape that sounded very much of its mid-1980s time, but which also struck some listeners as an updated version of what Davis had done with arranger Gil Evans in the late 1950s. Miles Davis and the title track from Tutu on Nightlights. We'll be right back. Miles Davis performing Tutu, the title track from his 1986 debut album for Warner Brothers, an album that yielded a Grammy for the trumpeter in the Best Jazz Soloist category. Davis's 45-year career on record has often been divided into stylistic periods: bebop, cool jazz, hard bop, modal, electric, and what Paul Tinginess labeled the chromatic funk of his 1980s comeback period. Davis was never content to stand still, and decades later, one can argue that his final period was his attempt to embrace pop stardom in his own way. He appeared in movies and on television shows such as Miami Vice, made a Honda scooter commercial, and became more outgoing in his concert appearances, all of this amounting to an approach that was new for him. Musician Jim Sangre, while acknowledging that some jazz fans might not find as much that they like in this period of Davis's career, says, "What is there, I think, and this thought only strengthens as the distance grows larger, is Miles deciding that he's going to take on pop and win on his own terms, with his own aesthetic, with his own representations." Now, some might call that selling out, but I think you can make at least just as strong a case that it's an act of defiance. After all, the notion is that pop equals stupid, shallow, and simplistic, and none of the Warner Brothers era music, especially in concert, is ever all that, especially textually. Wasn't Miles always a textualist? For that matter, wasn't Miles always about not settling for being ghettoized or pigeonholed, musically or personally? I'm not saying that anybody who doesn't like it is wrong, because that would mean that you have no right to look for what you like, want, or need in music. I'm just saying that the music has worth on the terrain that it sets out to conquer. That's musician Jim Sangre writing about Miles Davis's Warner Brothers period, which continued after Tutu with a score that Marcus Miller wrote for a 1987 movie set and filmed in Spain with an all-star cast that included Jodie Foster and Martin Sheen. The subsequent recording evoked Davis and Gil Evans' album Sketches of Spain for some listeners. Here's Miles Davis and music from Siesta on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Miles Davis performing music composed by Marcus Miller for the 1987 movie Siesta. I'll have more of the late period music of Miles Davis in just a few moments. You can listen to many previous Nightlights programs, including a show about Davis's early 1980s comeback recordings, on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington, or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington. Carry out and delivery information at 812-323-2233. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Final Miles on Nightlights. Featuring music from the final years of Miles Davis's career on this edition of Nightlights. The late 1980s were a busy time for Davis in spite of growing health problems. In 1989, his autobiography, co-authored with Quincy Troup, appeared, including searing observations of Charlie Parker and other passages that stirred controversy. His unreleased Columbia label album, Aura, which he considered to be one of his best outings in recent years and which some compared to his 1950s work with Gil Evans, finally came out and won a Grammy in 1990. He spent more time on a new artistic vocation, painting and sketching. Davis also continued to tour and to pursue new studio projects, including a re-teaming with Marcus Miller for the 1989 album Amandla, and in early 1991 beginning work with producer Easy Mo B on a planned double LP of jazz rap. We'll hear Marcus Miller's haunting tribute to bassist Jaco Pastorius, who had died in 1987, from Amandla, and the track Mystery from the posthumously released album Doobop. Miles Davis and Mr. Pastorius on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Miles Davis and Mystery from the posthumously released and incomplete album Doobop, which won a Grammy in 1993 despite a decidedly mixed reception from critics. Before that, we heard Davis performing Mr. Pastorius, Marcus Miller's tribute to bassist Jaco Pastorius from the 1989 album Amandla. Davis had always famously resisted revisiting his past, but in his final year, he yielded to Quincy Jones's entreaties to perform a concert of the music that Davis and arranger Gil Evans had recorded together in the late 1950s. Davis said that the ghost of Gil Evans had appeared to him in the mirror and urged him to do the concert. Others speculated that the large payday he received didn't hurt matters either. While fellow trumpeter Wallace Roney served as backup and helped carry the brunt of trumpet duties, Davis, who was clearly not in the best of health, managed some memorable moments in the recasting of his masterpieces with Evans. And we'll hear one, along with a performance from his final concert, in this next set. Miles Davis at Montreux with Quincy Jones in 1991 and the Pan Piper on Nightlights. Thank you. Miles Davis and Hannibal from his last live performance, recorded at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles on August 25, 1991. A few days after that concert, Davis began to vomit blood and checked into a hospital in Santa Monica. During his stay, he suffered a stroke and went into a coma. And on September 28, the man who had so often been at the forefront of jazz for the past 45 years died at the age of 65. I remember sitting at a coffee house in Bloomington with a jazz musician friend when somebody walked up and told us the news, and how my friend sat there silently, gazing into the distance, his extended pause in acknowledgement of the enormous departure that had now occurred. Space and silence seemed like a fitting response to the loss of Miles Davis. I'll close with a recording Davis made near the end of his life with singer Shirley Horn, whom he had admired and shared a bill with in the early 1960s. Shirley Horn, Miles Davis, and You Won't Forget Me on Nightlights.
Too wonderful to die. And it will happen. That now and then, you'll fall to wondering if we shouldn't have tried again. You won't forget me, shadow of your kiss. No matter where you are, with whom you are, you'll think of me. Just wait and see. The moon will cast on you the shadow of my kiss. No matter where you are, with whom you are, you'll think of me. You won't forget me. Just wait and see.
I closed with Shirley Horn performing the title track from her 1991 album, You Won't Forget Me, featuring Miles Davis on trumpet. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Nightlights. Special thanks to Jim Sangre. You can listen to many previous Nightlights programs on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington, or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe at the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington. Carry out and delivery information at 812-323-2233. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.